it's really helpful to be mindful of your words. People speak word curses over themselves all the time. I mean, you hear things like people say my, and then you can put in the blank for some sort of infirmity. It could be, you know, any, my, I hear people say like my autoimmune disease or my migraines or whatever. It's very important not to be speaking these word curses and coming into agreement with these things. You know, nowadays you hear that term all the time. Oh, you're killing me. You know, these things people think are just harmless things that we say without thinking. But again, God warns us in the Bible to be mindful of our words.
Hey there. Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelley Hankins, and we're here to share real stories of God's power, stories of hope, healing, and miracles that will strengthen your faith. No matter what you're walking through, we want to remind you that God is good and He's still moving today. Let's dive in. Hey friends, welcome back to the God's Goodness Podcast. Today's episode is one you do not want to miss because we're diving into a topic that has the power to completely transform lives. If you've ever felt stuck in cycles of fear, addiction, anxiety, or oppression and wondered, is there more freedom available for me? Then buckle up because today we're talking about deliverance. We're joined by Carmel Mooney from Anointed Journey, a woman who has spent years ministering in deliverance and helping people step into the fullness of God's freedom. She's also the author of a powerful book on the subject, and today she's going to break down what deliverance really is, why it matters for every believer, and how you can walk in the authority God has given you. She'll be sharing incredible testimonies of how people have been radically set free and giving us practical steps for breaking free from spiritual bondage. And listen, if this topic makes you a little uncomfortable, or if you're wondering, is deliverance really for me? I encourage you to stick around because you might be surprised by what you hear. So grab a coffee, get comfy, and get ready because this conversation is about to open your eyes to a deeper level of God's power and goodness. All right. So Carmel, thank you and welcome to the show.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
For those who may not know you, can you share a little bit about yourself and what led you to minister in deliverance?
Sure. So let's see. I've been a certified master Christian life coach and a Christian author for about 30 years. And gosh, back in 2001, I believe, I was leading a book publishing seminar. And I was teaching people across the United States how to publish their books. And an elderly couple who had a worldwide deliverance ministry, who I didn't know that at the moment, they came to one of my seminars and they asked for my assistance and my coaching on getting one of their books published. And when they first approached me, I didn't know it was about deliverance. In fact, I didn't know much at all about deliverance. But oh my goodness. Well, my coaching ended up, I think they ended up coaching me more than I coached them. They did end up editing. I edited their book with them and I coached them on how to get their book published. But while I was doing that, I was being kind of catapulted into a deep dive into deliverance ministry. They were showing me and teaching me as I was helping them edit their book. And they guided me through my very own deliverance for the very first time. And all I can say is that it radically changed my life. I suddenly came to the full understanding of what it meant to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to learn what deliverance was all about. I had never been taught any of this in any of the churches I had attended for so many years. So once I walked through my own deliverance journey, I really wanted nothing more than to share that liberty and that freedom that I had experienced with others. And I began coaching some of my own clients in deliverance, and I saw hundreds of people's successful deliverance and began to realize that it was a really critical part of our Christian walk, that far too few churches were equipping the saints with the knowledge or the skills they needed. And I got thrown right into it.
Wow. Was there a specific experience or moment when God made it clear, like, this was part of your calling?
Well, if I go back, gosh, probably 10 or 15 years before I met them, I had some of my own terrifying experiences with dark entities that I didn't understand. The first one I had, I was not a Christian yet. I was held down in a bed at someone else's house by a dark entity. This was several years before I was saved. I didn't know the power of the name of Jesus. but I had seen movies.
Yeah.
When this thing held me down in bed, I couldn't even speak. I couldn't even get air in my lungs to even say anything. So I mouthed, I just literally with my lips mouthed the name of Jesus, because I had seen it and heard of it. You know, I didn't really know anything about it. And this thing let go of me and floated down the hallway. And a few years later, when I was a newly saved Christian, a similar situation happened to me. And I had also seen a few scary poltergeist activities after I'd become a Christian. Gosh, some things that I didn't understand. And so this couple helped me to understand that. And then when I finally got delivered myself, I mean, I just wanted to help others.
Wow, that would have been scary. But that proves how powerful that was. That not even saying it out loud.
Do you think there's a correlation between night terrors, like when people have this, like these paralyzed moments in the experience that you shared? You know, maybe they didn't detect the presence, but they're still immobilized by it.
Absolutely. In fact, with children in particular, I see a lot in my ministry, and I, you know, we can touch on that later if you want, but I've noticed many, many children come to me, or their parents come to me on behalf of their children, because they have night terrors or they have sightings of the bogeyman. Some people call it boogeyman, but anyway, that is also a type of demonic harassment that a lot of children, unfortunately, are, you know, victim of. And once we help them break free from some of the doors that are open, like close the doors that have been open to the demonic realm, things the parents might be doing, the kids might have in their rooms. It can be lots of different things. I know this is going to sound really out there to say kind of at the get-go, but I have seen kids with extreme night terrors. And once we got rid of, or helped them get rid of, things like unicorn posters and mermaids and really scary games and things that were door openers, then immediately this kind of harassment stopped. So it's kind of mind boggling.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
So many people hear the term deliverance ministry, but may not fully understand what it means. How would you define deliverance, and why is it important for believers?
Well, simply put, deliverance is really just partnering with the Holy Spirit in prayer, but it often requires a strategic spiritual warfare battle plan to take back what the enemy has stolen and to appropriate the victory that Jesus already secured for us at the cross. But a lot of people don't understand how to appropriate and step into that victory. And it, you know, it also means defeating dark forces that continuously operate to hinder and to thwart and to steal, kill, and destroy our callings, our relationships, our ministries, and, you know, even our health, our finances. These things work to oppose nearly every aspect of our lives, which is, you know, what we're told in Ephesians 6:12 about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, have you ever, like, followed up with those kids that got delivered? And I wonder if they had an even greater calling on their life, that they were attacked as young children.
Oh, yes. That is so true. You hit the nail on the head. That's absolutely true. I mean, demonic entities like to harass children in general. They hate children. It's sad. I mean, when you do deliverance, on occasion, sometimes you have to interrogate a demon, and they will come out and straight out tell you that they hate children. But yes, certain kids have amazing callings on their lives, and, you know, heavenly, godly assignments on their lives. And these dark forces work every way they can to thwart that and to, you know, harass and torment these young children. And it's sad. But the thing is a lot of people don't understand our culture nowadays. It's become so acceptable to watch movies that are deeply ingrained in or influenced by the occult and witchcraft and that type of thing. And so these kids, a lot of them unknowingly, and even their parents unknowingly, have posters and books and figures and action figures and movies and games that are, you know, steeped in these occultic practices and have dark demonic roots. And when they're removed, these kids end up having a release from this type of demonic harassment, torment, influence, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's miraculous to see.
Wow. Is there like a list in your book that calls these things out? Like you mentioned, mermaids and unicorns, all the things from fairy tales.
Yes. I do have a really comprehensive list in my book. It's actually got several hundred very common cursed objects that are what I jokingly call demon magnets. Mm. Things like dream catchers, bamboo money trees, peace signs. A lot of people don't even realize, like, a peace sign is literally a broken upside down cross, and it's a satanic symbol. I mean, it's sad that, you know, the hippies in the 60s adopted it. Maybe some of them didn't even realize what it is. I've even seen children have really severe demonic harassment from having peace signs on their purses, their backpacks, their underwear. And once we got rid of that, it stopped instantly. It's just mind-boggling.
Wow.
It's interesting how the enemy uses something good and perverts it, right? Like, peace is good, and he perverts it. It blows my mind how he sneaks in, just like at the garden, right? That he tempted Eve with good. She saw that it was good. He doesn't tempt us with something we blatantly know. He's like, no, don't touch that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Not to get off the subject, but I was at an event for children. And this was, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. And it was a scavenger hunt of sorts. And so the kids were given these cards to fill with scavenger hunt places they were supposed to go and find these things. And then they were supposed to come back to this desk and collect their prize once they had filled their scavenger hunt card. And it was interesting. I watched some of the kids go up to get their prize, and they had various prizes, but the kids that were handed a Pokemon immediately started manifesting demons. Like, these kids would start screaming, shrieking. I even saw one kid literally fall on the floor, start rolling around, shrieking and screaming, and the parents had to pick him up and leave him. And prior to that, he'd been a happy kid having a fun time. So, you know, Pokemon is a demonic thing, and a lot of people don't understand. These things have strong spiritual consequences.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think deliverance is only for extreme cases, but is it something every believer needs? It sounds like it. So how can someone recognize they need deliverance?
Well, every believer needs deliverance. I mean, we all do. It's part of the human condition. Believers are sadly all affected to some degree or another by some sort of demonic influence, oppression, activity, and some even with downright torment. I mean, that's like going back again to Ephesians 6:12. I mean, the things that we see are not the whole picture, obviously. Mm-hmm. If we didn't have some sort of demonic influence in our lives to some degree, then the moment everybody got saved or baptized, or they would just immediately have no afflictions, no addictions, no strongholds. I mean, we wouldn't be wrestling with any of this in the body of Christ. So, I mean, everybody needs it. And in fact, the Bible says that deliverance is the children's bread, which shows us that it's sustenance. It's required. It's necessary.
What does the process of deliverance actually look like? Can you walk us through the key steps?
Sure. So there are lots of different methods and approaches to deliverance, and I don't knock any of them. I mean, the Holy Spirit doesn't operate in just one way.
Real quick, I know you said in social media, I watch your posts and TikTok, and you said it's not good to do like a group deliverance because then you can't be as tactical against the enemy.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. If they had specific names and specific assignments, you know, doing a group one, how would you cast everyone out with a generalized one for a specific entity?
I'm not knocking that group deliverance can't be beneficial, but in general, what I see is I see it be more problematic than helping people achieve their lasting deliverance for several reasons. And like you said, there was a movie that came out a few years ago and a lot of people were going to movie theaters and I went to see it, you know, and in the movie theater at the end, when they did deliverance through the screen to, you know, a couple hundred people in a movie theater, I mean, I saw demons manifesting all over the theater, but some of those people I spoke to later, they never had lasting deliverance. And there's a lot of reasons. I mean, you if you go to a movie or you bring someone with you to a group, they may not truly be a Holy Spirit-filled believer. So they may not have a way to be filled up with the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit when they're done. And as we know from the Bible, they'll come back worse if that's the case. Mm-hmm. And then, like you also alluded to, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that there's preparation that needs to be done for lasting deliverance. You wouldn't send someone to a surgical suite for a surgery and not have them prepped properly if you wanted a good outcome. And it's the same with deliverance. If people have lots of unrepentant sin, and they have bitterness and unforgiveness, and they have all sorts of doors open to the demonic realm, mm-hmm. they're going to get little to any lasting deliverance. But to answer your first question, one critical part of lasting deliverance is to repent and renounce any known sin that particularly opens doors to the demonic realm. And I have a really extensive door closing prayer in my book. And also I even posted it on my TikTok channel. And that is so comprehensive that it takes about maybe 15, 20 minutes to go through it. But I've seen people get incredible deliverance, even just from that pre-deliverance door closing prayer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they have to renounce involvement in the occult and witchcraft. And then I typically lead people also right away before we even cast demons out, like through breaking unholy and ungodly soul ties from either abusive relationships they may have had in their past, which pretty much everyone's had some sort of, it could even be a boss. It could be anyone in your life, parent or otherwise, that may have created an ungodly soul tie. Intimate physical relationships outside of marriage certainly are, you know, I call them the sexually transmitted demons in my book.
I love that.
I mean, people need to break generational curses because we have things in our bloodline. The Bible talks about that, that, you know, we need to repent for, that weren't repented for by our ancestors. People speak word curses over themselves and others pretty much every day and don't even realize some of the things they say. And then also, inner healing of soul wounds and trauma is a part, because demons love to sit on soul wounds. So if you ask God to heal those soul wounds, you can cast those demons out. And then finally, casting demons out. And lastly, walking out the deliverance by immersing ourselves in the Word of God, the truth of who God truly says we are, and being mindful of what we speak into existence over ourselves and others, and what we come into agreement with.
Mm. It's so important, the power of our words.
Yes, it is. And we have that same Holy Spirit power that, you know, God spoke things into existence. He's given us that power, and we need to be very mindful of it.
Mm-hmm.
I love how everything you said lines up with what Beatty Carmichael had shared in his episode. And it's the same exact pattern that was answering 90% of the prayers that were prayed in that pattern. Mm-hmm. And like, if you don't know what you need to be repentant for, ask God, and then yes. you can repent of it. And then once you ask for the blood of Jesus to remove your sins, then that legal entity has no foothold, no, what's the word, access?
Stronghold?
You don't have a legal right.
Yes.
No legal right.
There you Thank
go.
You.
Yep.
And
yep.
then you can walk in that greater authority Christ has given you.
Absolutely.
I just love how this is all biblical and it's all 100%, you know, the same.
So I was going to ask.
That's awesome.
If you can go through deliverance on your own, but I mean, clearly you can. Is it important, yep. though, to have someone walk them through it? And obviously, it's you know, the more people praying for you, the more people reading scripture while you're going through it, the more people singing songs of praise to Yahweh is very important, I think.
Yes.
But is it important enough to have someone like walk you through it, especially if you're kind of stumbling, you don't know what to pray?
There's a time and a place for all different methods, and I would never criticize one over the other, but the focus of my ministry for the last 24 years has been really to empower and equip people to walk out their own self-deliverance journey without becoming overly reliant on a particular minister or ministry. Early on in my ministry training, I saw a lot of people who would subscribe to the false notion, I guess I'd call it, that they had to have a particular pastor or minister or ministry help them in their deliverance or even do their deliverance for them. And that simply isn't true. Most people can walk out self-deliverance without someone else assisting them. I mean, like you said, super great to have other people praying in agreement with you, praying praise and worship music, or even being with you, especially if you're helping a young child or someone like that. I mean, deliverance can be very calm and beautiful and peaceful. It doesn't have to be people screaming demons out of you. And so like when I've done it with children, it's a very calm, peaceful, safe environment. I've never seen a kid ever terrified or scared when we've done it. But yes, any Holy Spirit-filled believer can seek deliverance themselves with help from the Holy Spirit between them and God. And again, I'm not suggesting there's no place for group deliverance or one-on-one deliverance, but it certainly isn't necessary in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any powerful testimonies? Well, I know you do, but of how God has set people free through your ministry. Like, can you share some ones that really stand out?
Yes, I have so many in my book. I call them stories from the battlefield in my book. You know, I have one woman in particular who I was coaching who comes to mind frequently. She was really heavily involved in witchcraft and the occult, and her, both her mom and her aunt were both involved in witchcraft, and they had done a lot of witchcraft in her home. And this poor woman, she was young, late 20s, single mom with two kids, and she was really heavily tormented in all areas of her life. I mean, she had apparitions showing up in her house almost on the daily. She even had a dog that had been completely a calm, happy, docile, peaceful dog, and suddenly it was attacking people and growling and biting people. Her dog had demons. Mm. Her car had demons. She literally had strange voices and occurrences happening in her car consistently, like on a daily basis. It was one of the worst infestations I've ever seen.
Wow.
And I walked her through deliverance. She did self-deliverance, and then she kind of asked me if I would also walk her through some stuff as well, which I did. And it was interesting because I was one-on-one in person with her when we were going back and kind of, I like to joke, deliverance is sort of like peeling an onion or like scrubbing a pan that has scum. You know, you may have to go back and do a few more applications, and this woman needed like layers. But anyway, we were sitting together doing deliverance, and she was spitting the demons into a cup that she was holding. Mm. And I literally saw these demons swirling in the cup as she spit them out. And they were the most bizarre looking things I'd ever seen. You could see the tentacles in them in the cup as they were swirling around. It was remarkable.
Wow.
It really was.
That is incredible.
I've never seen that happen. Anybody spit anything up. But when I went to the miracle services for the buckles locally, they always have that bucket just in case anything needs to be gotten rid of.
You know, when our son was 2.5, 3 years old, he would have horrible night terrors at about 11 to 11:30 at night. It would wake him up screaming and crying. And I would change his diaper. And when I went there one night, I was changing him. And he said, Mickey needs new batteries. He had a Mickey Mouse doll. And I was like, I immediately got triggered because Mickey didn't take batteries. Mickey was just a stuffed animal. He said Mickey didn't talk to him anymore. And so we prayed right then and there, right on the floor, and I got a very strong inclination to destroy the doll, which I did by giving him to the dogs to get destroyed. And my son has never had a night terror since.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen these kind of things with mechanical toys, dolls. Now, I'm not saying dolls. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not fanatical. I'm not saying all dolls are wrong or bad, but there are certain things that I've seen that you can't even sometimes explain. However, I should say things like people who are really obsessed with dolls and have like an addiction to them, where the dolls are like an idol to them, that definitely can be a door opener. But I'm not saying all toys are bad and that type of thing. So just wanted to make a little side note on that.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
No doubt.
For sure.
So how have you personally seen deliverance change lives, families, and even communities?
Well, I mean, I have seen hundreds of people who I've coached personally go from being completely oppressed to not being oppressed. And some people, you know, it's very, very quickly. And some people it's a process. Mm-hmm. Like that gal that I just mentioned, it was a process for her. But I've never seen someone come for deliverance or coaching or training who has not had their life radically changed for the better in some way or another.
So every consistently single person.
Yes. I mean, 100%. Consistently God shows up. Well, I mean, there are people who have unrepentant sin, and they have said to me after weeks or months, you know, I'm still having this one issue. I don't understand. I don't understand. Why am I not being delivered from this one issue? And those are the things when they're very difficult. Sometimes we have to pray and fast for an answer. And typically in most deliverances, the Holy Spirit will show you what needs to be, you know, renounced, repented for, whatever. I mean, he's very faithful to show that. But no, I've never seen anybody who came for deliverance truly wishing and wanting it and desiring it and seeking God who God didn't deliver. No.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That reminds me of healing. God, Jesus never denied anybody healing who asked for it in the Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey there, listeners. A while back, I had a brutal 4-day headache while my body was fighting something that had taken over my house. My podcast coach, Jenalee Samuel from Java with Jen, commented on my post saying she wished she lived closer so she could stick one of her patches on me. I asked her what she was talking about. She sent me her podcast episode about LifeWaves X39 patches, and I had to check it out. These non-transdermal phototherapy patches use light-based technology to support wellness and energy. No drugs, no chemicals, just light. And get this, Kim Clement prophesied about future medical breakthroughs using light. While results vary, people are experiencing emotional testimonials of healing, pain relief, improving the quality of sleep, improving people's energy, and more. Even Josh is pain-free when he wears them. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Want to learn more? Check out the LifeWave info link in my About section. Of course, these patches aren't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But the stories speak for themselves. Now, back to the show. So you mentioned the Holy Spirit and that response. Like, what role does he play in deliverance?
In my view, it's absolutely everything. I mean, the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus is what accomplishes deliverance through the person seeking deliverance or the deliverance minister being a vessel. I mean, that's all we are. The glory goes all to God and the Holy Spirit. I mean, we are just vessels. We're just helping. I mean, Jesus told us in Matthew 10:8 and Matthew 12:28, he told us that we would do even greater works than he, and that we would heal the sick and cast out demons. And that's all we are. We're just being obedient.
Mm. So for someone who feels stuck in bondage or oppression, what is the first step they should take towards freedom?
Well, I would encourage anyone who believes they need deliverance, and again, I believe that's everybody, to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, because going back to your last question, the Holy Spirit is, that's it. That's where we get our power and authority. Okay. It can be helpful to get some coaching or mentoring sometimes from someone who's walked through their own deliverance journey, someone that you trust who has achieved their own deliverance. It's really helpful to be mindful of your words. People speak word curses over themselves all the time. I mean, you hear things like, people say my, and then you can put in the blank for some sort of infirmity. It could be, you know, any, my, I hear people say like my autoimmune disease or my migraines or whatever. It's very important not to be speaking these word curses and coming into agreement with these things. You know, nowadays you hear that term all the time. Oh, you're killing me. You know, these things people think are just harmless things that we say without thinking. But again, God warns us in the Bible to be mindful of our words. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny. I was in a meeting yesterday and someone said something that they hoped would happen. They said, knock on wood. And that's another one. I did a video on
that
this.
That triggers me.
Yeah, well, it's in your spirit. Your spirit's telling you. It's interesting because historically, for centuries, knock on wood was a spiritist occultist practice that was used to summon demons for centuries. So I just tell people, you know, there's no reason to live or walk in fear, but we need just to be mindful of our words. They're so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, God spoke the universe into existence and everything in it, and then he created us in his image. So yes, our words have power, without a doubt.
Yep, absolutely.
So what are some practical ways believers can stay free and walk in their God-given authority after deliverance?
Well, first of all, pray and study God's word. I mean, those are really paramount, but particularly focus in and study and dig deep into the power and authority that we've been given that, in my view, is largely overlooked by most, you know, modern churches. Being very mindful of being repentant about bitterness or unforgiveness. I mean, we're told in Matthew 18:34-35 that we will be turned over to the tormentors, you know, if we fail to forgive, and that's they're demons. So, you know, pray, study God's word, fast, be quick to forgive, and just really learn and study about your power and authority, because most of the modern churches really don't dig into that very deep, unfortunately.
You know, as a society, we like to disagree about every single thing on planet Earth, including fellow believers from church to church, even fellow believers in the same church. So what are the most common misconceptions about deliverance that you'd like to clear up?
The one that I probably hear most often is that Holy Spirit-filled believers can't be oppressed by demons. I mean, Jesus himself cast demons out of believers in multiple parts of the Bible, including in the synagogue. I mean, we find that in Mark 1:21 to 28, and also I believe, let's see, I think it was Luke 4:31, maybe 37. But, you know, the Bible tells us that deliverance is the children's bread. Like I said earlier, that's sustenance, it's required. Jesus commanded us to heal the sick and to cast out demons. So, I mean, you can't argue it biblically. Jesus not only modeled it, but he showed us how to do it. He empowered his believers to do it, told us that we would do it. So it's sad, but I think most modern, not all, of course, most modern 501c3 churches are more concerned about throwing trunk or treats and bake sales than they are about setting the captives free. And that's really, it's so important. It's just it's a huge part of being able to walk out the life of liberty and freedom that Jesus wants us to live and that he paid a huge price for us to live.
So we can't, with the Holy Spirit filling us, we have a spirit already in us. We can't be possessed by the demons, but that does not stop them from harming and harassing our lives in every aspect.
Absolutely. That I couldn't have said it better. Absolutely. Yep.
So how can our listeners contact you or connect with you, your book, and your ministry if they want to learn more? Because this is something I believe would spark the interest of most believers who want to be free, who want to lean more into Jesus and are, you know, obviously being harassed by the enemy and causing us to slow our walk.
Well, my coaching and my deliverance trainings have always been free. I never charge for deliverance coaching. I am a certified master Christian life coach, and for other types of coaching, I do charge, but never for deliverance or inner healing work. They can go to my website, which is www.anointedjourney.com. So anointedjourney.com. And I also have a TikTok channel, which is called Anointed Online Coach. And there I do pretty much almost daily deliverance videos that touch on a lot of the topics from my book.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's really interesting that you get to help people in this and that you were called to help people in this and how everyone's calling is different. I remember as I was growing up, I didn't have any religious background except Buddhism from my parents. And when I became a Christian, I used to have recurring nightmares where I would climb on top of a building and somehow make it all the way to the basement. And we were like, something was hunting us in the basement, and I never saw what it was, but it never made it out. And then I remember after I gave my life to Jesus, I would never make it to the basement anymore. I was always stuck on the roof. And at one point, the person on the roof was a kid that was stopping us. And he was clearly demon possessed. And I remember praying in my dream about this, and it went away. And I never had another recurring nightmare about that again. In fact, I've never had a scary nightmare. Like, I mean, they get scary, but I love them. Like, it's like they're just intense dreams.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, praise God. Yeah. He worked in me a little bit different than he works in most people because I never got discipled. God had to disciple me personally. I've learned so many lessons just from him. And it's just been a wonderful, true blessing for, well, he knows that I only learned the hard way. So, you know, he made me that way. So he's been helping me.
He's so patient and faithful. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I was reminded of in Beatty Carmichael's episode and your episode is it's like renewing our minds. We have to continually repent of sin because we can't stop sinning. It just happens. And so sometimes we have to, like, take a look at what's going on. Is there anything that's holding you back? Ask God, like, to reveal that to you and what you need to repent for. Because it's not going to just be a one and done thing.
Right. Only. I mean, there are people that come out of the baptismal pool speaking in tongues with all sorts of gifts. And I mean, those are beautiful things. But for most people, deliverance is kind of a process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was disappointed when I was baptized because I came out and I was exactly as I was when I went in. And I was like, well, what happened? So, you know, I thought I'd be, you know, hands in my pocket, whistling, knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus. And I was still me. The only thing that had changed was that I had struggles that I didn't have before because now I had a conscience that told me that what I was doing was wrong.
And now you have a target on your back from the enemy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too. Yeah.
Yeah, the enemy, he's only attacking because he knows what you can possibly accomplish.
That's right.
There was something real powerful in a podcast episode I heard, and it could be spiritual warfare because there's always warfare before the win, before you're about to occupy new promises. The enemy shows up right before. So if I were you, if you're going to warfare right now, don't whine about it. If I were you, I'd be rejoicing because it only means you're about to occupy the very area hell has fought to keep you out of. That was Samuel Rodriguez. And he's
beautifully said.
He's his episode with Java with Jen was excellent. And I highly recommend that episode. But anyway.
So yeah, another question. Said. When you are going through deliverance, how different is one person from another? Like, how many people violently shake and spit black goo on the floor versus the people that just kind of like just look like a sense of peace comes over them?
Well,
I chose the both extremes. Never, I'm sorry. There's a lot of middle.
I have never had anything horrible happen during a deliverance. Everything is different. Like you said, some people it's very gentle, and some people they almost imperceivably even realize that they're even being delivered. They may just say after the session, oh my goodness, I feel so much lighter. You know, some people, they spit things out, burp things out, yawn things out, shake and tingle and all sorts of weird things. But I will tell you, in my experience, and I've done thousands of deliverances, I've never started deliverance without setting the ground rules first and just commanding the demons, you know, that you're not going to cause any problem during this deliverance. You're not going to rip and tear as you leave. You're not going to exacerbate any health conditions. I lay ground rules, and you have to do that as the Holy Spirit leads, of course, but I do have like a suggestion for that prayer and many others in my book. But typically my experience is because we have this authority over the demonic realm. If you tell them what the ground rules are before you start a deliverance, things are largely peaceful. I mean, you will see manifestations, but nothing that is terrifying.
Nothing like we see on YouTube videos.
Yeah, you know, and that's the sad thing. I'm not in any way trying to criticize any ministry or method, but a lot of ministries really turn deliverance into, in my opinion, a circus act. It's like a sideshow. It's a lot of clickbait and trying to get, you know, a lot of attention and notoriety. And that bothers me. That's just my personal view on this. Mm-hmm. Deliverance 99% of the time really should be a beautiful, peaceful experience. It doesn't need to be a circus act. And it cheapens deliverance for some people when they see these things. And it also deters people from seeking deliverance because some of these videos are downright scary.
Yeah, I was thinking just that. Like, how many of these videos could possibly be a result of an influence in somebody else's life to drive Christians and other people away from it because it does look scary?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did a video on my TikTok channel about that just about a week and a half ago, actually. So you hit the nail on the head on that one, too.
I'll put links to your information in the show notes. For sure.
You know, I'm also glad that you mentioned that you disliked people getting credit and people going to other people. Like, this is the person who delivered me, and that's the person I'm going to go to, without realizing that it was 100% God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit working in and through them. You know, I've prayed for healing for people, and then people will come up and say, hey, here's the guy that healed me. I hate that because I did nothing. I did nothing. I'm no different than the paint on the pot that God put on there. Right?
Exactly.
I'm nothing.
Exactly.
And so I wanted to put that as a precursor that I hate it, you hate it. Nobody wants credit for something God is doing.
Right.
So, you know, before we wrap up, would you be willing to pray over our listeners, especially those who may be struggling with spiritual oppression and are seeking freedom? And remember, this is the Holy Spirit that set you free. This isn't our guest.
Sure. Absolutely. And thank you for bringing that up again. It's just so important that we give God the glory for this because, like you said, that's one of the reasons I wrote my self-deliverance book is I saw far too many people almost idolizing a particular ministry or pastor. And every time some little thing would come up in their life, they'd run back to that minister again. Oh, I need more deliverance. Help me, help me, help me. And it's just sad to see because that's not what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, you see the TV pastors smacking people with coats and whatnot, and then they get thousands and thousands and thousands more viewers paying them thousands and thousands, thousands more dollars for deliverance. And I just hate that. You know, this, he's the same God in that church. He's the same God in the street. He's the same God in your house.
Exactly. Sure, I'll pray. Do you want me to pray now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the power and the authority that you've given us through your living word. Just as you promised in Luke 10:19 that we can overcome all the power of the enemy and that nothing evil shall harm us, we stand in that truth today trusting in your mighty strength. I pray that every person hearing this will be drawn to seek deliverance from you and you alone, guided by the wisdom and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Open their hearts to your truth and lead them into the freedom that only you provide. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that you won on the cross, defeating sin and death and every work of the enemy. Thank you for guiding us into that freedom and into that liberty, and for teaching us exactly how to walk in the fullness of the victory that you and you alone have already secured. Lord, we ask that you be glorified and magnified in deliverance and in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here with us, Carmel. This has been amazing. And I want to remind everybody, if you want her website, it's anointedjourney.com. We'll put that link in the show notes so you don't even need to spell it in your notes. And I started reading the book. I wasn't able to get the whole way through it. It was just, I'm working on a lot of stuff. But sure. It is powerful, and I highly recommend it. It will guide you step by step through everything in greater detail, and it'll bless the socks off of you.
Thank you.
So thank you so much again. Go out, check out her resources. There's more than just that on her website. You will be blessed by checking that out. And if this episode has blessed you, we ask that you pass it along to somebody, because we need this to be like the ripple effect. And mm-hmm. we just help hundreds of people with the word. And this is truth because it's consistent with God's word. And we just want that to go forth and be a blessing and build people's faith. So thank you for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow us on all the socials at God's Goodness Podcast, where you can find the latest and say, hey, it's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through any of the links in the About section, or of course, by praying for us, as well as sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds us why we do this. Until next time, remember, God is always working, miracles are real, and your breakthrough could be just around the corner. Keep believing, keep expecting, and don't forget to share this with someone who needs hope today. We'll talk to you next week.